All right, thank you so much, guys, for your patience. Right, so we were here. Right, so we seem to be back up and everything. Is the audio okay? Can just let me know in the, just take yourself off of mute and
Yes,
just let
it
me know.
is.
Okay,
Very
thank you.
good.
All right. So as I was saying before, the goal signifies excellence and the way how God wants us to operate. And it also shows us that, in terms of showing excellence, the Lord is the one who will establish the pattern for our willing women. He's the one, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he has the mandate of how the move goes, and he drives the move and directs the women, as we are called to the nations. So God is directing the move. And we're going to look at examples of keeping to pattern. As I said before, God is the one, and the Holy Spirit is the one who directs the move of wailing women. And we will see that throughout the Bible, throughout scriptures, we see various examples of persons who kept to the pattern that God established for them. We see Noah. Noah would have given Lord was given Noah specific specifications to follow in terms of building the ark. We have Moses, and when the Lord encountered him in the burning bush, the Lord told Moses exactly what to say to Pharaoh, word for word. Go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people to release them to come and worship me, to offer sacrifices, etc., etc., etc. And we have Solomon. The Lord gave Solomon specific instructions on how to build the temple, the height, the width, the breadth, the length, all the various aspects. And we also see Joshua. The Lord gave Joshua instructions on how to divide up the land. And he's saying, be not afraid, be of good courage. And he told Joshua exactly what to do, how to do it. And we also see Gideon, when the Lord told Gideon to tear down the false altars that were in his territory. So we see throughout the entire Bible various examples of persons who would have heard the voice of God and followed the patterns of God to the letter. There are many different examples. We have David, who always inquired of the Lord, Lord, should I go? Should how to do this, how to do that? We have Joshua in the terms of the Lord telling Joshua how to defeat the Philistines, about going around the camp 7 times. There were various persons, and we see all throughout the scriptures that when we stick to the pattern of God, when we stick to the things and the way how God instructs us to do things, we see that we have success. And this is key thing to follow in terms of when the Lord will send us on prophetic actions. The Lord will tell us to go to different nations and do this, and let me do various things. Pastor John can give examples as well. Like when we have conferences, embedded in our conference, there's usually we have prophetic actions that the Lord will send us out to carry out, and let me execute them exactly how the Lord wants us to execute them. When we leave, sometimes it might be immediate, sometimes it is when we come back, like months later, or even the following year, we hear about how the nation has been changed and the different things that that would have happened. A prime example would have been in Jamaica. We had gone to the Jamaica conference, it was in 2016. We had gone to a place named Port Royal, and this was a old military base, and it was closed down for so many years, and there were different things that occurred, at that port. There was slavery, there was sexual immorality, there were so much different things that happened. And we went there and we prayed, and the Lord, different things took place. And then I think it was, I'm not even sure if it was the following year or the next year, but that port was opened back. And it's just showing you how the Lord is so faithful to redeem the nations. There was a time, I can't remember if it was around Guyana elections or if it may have been before, but then we went there, things happened, we raised, I think it may have been the time when we raised the chapter there. I'm not too sure, I can't remember the exact what happened. But one significant thing that happened was that the prime minister or president, because they have a president, he got on the platform and he stated that he dedicated Guyana back to the Lord, and that was significant for that nation. And we can see now that, you know, after he said that, we see how Guyana's economy just picked up. So we see when you stick to the patterns outlined by God, change happens, you know, and that's where the Lord calls us to be holy and pure before him. That's where the Lord calls us to you know, be meant to be women of the closet, women who hear his voice and move accordingly. And this move is one that calls for obedience above all things, because if Noah was not obedient, the ark would not have been built and his family would have been destroyed. If Moses was not obedient, Israel may have still been bondage. But the thing is, God is so faithful, he would have raised another person to carry out, but it would not have been Moses. Moses would have missed his appointed time. Moses would have missed his Kairos moment. He would have missed what God was doing in his life. You know, so it argues well for us as women to follow the established pattern that God has for us. And even this time where we are going through this season of fasting and being before the Lord, you know, in terms of God hearing us, you know, God speaking to us, and we writing down the things that God is saying to us in this season, we're getting instruction from the Lord. So the last person I put there was Saul, but I put Saul there for a reason, because Saul was one person who did not listen or did not adhere to what God said. And I'm gonna pull it up and read. So we're gonna read 1 Samuel 13:8-15. 1 Samuel 13:8-15. And it says, then he waited 7 days, this is Saul, according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. So Saul was waiting on Samuel to return, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Mishmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Remember, Saul was the first king over Israel. He said, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So we see there that, and because of Saul's disobedience, you know, the Lord said that his kingdom would have been established, you know, forever. But the main thing is that the Lord wanted someone after his own heart. He wanted somebody who heard his voice, who was obedient to his voice, and who would carry out the things of God. So that's why I put Saul there, to bring the contrast, to show, or the comparison, to show what happens when we do not follow the pattern of God or the examples of God. Sorry. So the next slide speaks about the commander. And I termed it the commander because, as I said before, God is the head over Wailing Women worldwide. So in God being the leader, he is, as the term calls it, he is the apex leader. He is the one who has established his will. I mean, he is the owner. He is the sole provider. of all the resources that is needed for this work. You know, God does not desire the work of willing women to be a burden to anyone, because he is the one who provides the resources for his people. You know, persons, there are many persons who have testimonies of how the Lord just, you know, provided for them to even to attend conferences, you know, and it's all about having a measure of faith. And in this move, the Lord really tested, he really tests your faith. You know, even for me, there were times when, you know, your desire for going to conferences, and, you know, you're believing the Lord for the funds, and miraculously the Lord just provides the funds for you to attend. And you know, it just shows you that he is the sole provider of the resources, and he's also the sole benefactor. Because, you know, as the word tells us, you know, not to be weary in well doing, you know, that the Lord will reward you for our service. You know, the Lord is the one who holds everything concerning this move in his hands, and he is the owner of Willing Women. Yes, we have leaders, but the leaders also report to God as well. Any questions or queries so far?
Yes, we are clear. Thank you.
Right. So the next slide is Hebrews 4:13. And we must give an account to God for this work. It says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So even in Willing Women, the Lord has called us for this work. He has entrusted us with a very huge responsibility, and that is interceding for the church, the family, and the nations. And, you know, we have to give an account for, you know, the things that God has placed into our hands. And, you know, the Lord, he's going to provide, you know, he doesn't want this work to be, as I said before, to be burdensome, to see them as a task, but he rewards. He's also a faithful rewarder. And the Lord told, he said to us, you know, that when we take care of his business, that he will take care of our business, you know, so we don't have to worry about, you know, our families. Yes, we will still continue to pray for them, but when we do the work of the Lord, when we, you know, intercede and pressing on behalf of others, the Lord takes care of our business. And, you know, a dear friend of the ministry and a dear friend of members from Guyana as well as Barbados, I remember Sister Leah, she passed away a couple of years ago. And you know, there was a time when she was going to a conference, and she was having some, you know, a dire situation with her family. And, you know, and she believed the Lord was telling her to go. He's going to take care. Go. He's going to take care. And, you know, the situation was, a lot of persons would have thought, but how can you leave? How can you leave? And rationally, it was like, any rational, you know, they would like, no, I have to stay. And she, you know, she interceded, she met before the Lord, and the Lord told her to go. And it was very hard for her to go. But when she went and she came back, the Lord worked out everything he worked out, you know. And it just is a testament to, just when we set our face to do the work of the Lord, he takes care of everything. You know, sometimes it's very hard to, you know, go against, you know, your mind telling you one thing, your emotions, your intellect saying another thing, and the Lord is telling you in front. And, you know, you just have to trust and believe that what you are doing is for the Lord, and that he is backing you. And then, you know, we know, and honestly, the Lord goes before us in every situation we are in. I can say that 150%. The Lord goes before us. When we go out to do his business, he goes before us. And that's what the scripture says, that there's nothing, you know, there's nothing that he doesn't see. There's no creature that is hidden from his sight. You know, all things are naked and open to his eyes. There's nothing that Lord does not know that's not going to happen. He knew coronavirus would have come. You know, he knew all of these things. And even for me, there was a time when I went to the conference in Nigeria, because the best testimonies is your own. So, well, from, you know, because you can tell from, you can say it from your perspective. You know, everybody has their own testimony, but you understand your own testimony and, you know, the emotions and everything that goes with it. And there was a season where, you know, there was Ebola in Nigeria. And, you know, you know, my father was saying, oh, where are you going? He lives in another country. He's like, where are you going? I was like, daddy, the Lord said to go, and I'm going to do the Lord's business. So, you know, I went, and there was a time at the conference when the Lord told all the women, just come before me and cry out. They come before me and cry out. Sin has entered. Sin has entered. And, you know, I mean, everybody, every person in that auditorium just went before the Lord, and we cried out. And it's like, we didn't even know what was happening. Lord just said, cry before me, cry out before me, repent, repent, repent. And it was like, I was like, Lord, what happened? What we do? Like, you know? And it was only after we left, as at the exact same time that we prayed, was the exact same time that a guy traveled from, I can't remember which nation it was, and he came to Port Harcourt, which is where the conference was held, and he was locked up in a hotel room, and he called a doctor that he knew, and he had Ebola. He called a doctor that he knew, and the doctor was treating him in that hotel room, and nobody knew. The hotel staff didn't know, his family didn't know, nobody knew. And as at the same time that we were praying, this is what was going on. And at the end of it, it's only after we heard that the gentleman died and the doctor that was treating him died, and nobody else caught Ebola in that state. And you know, in terms of how Ebola is very highly contagious. And the mere fact the Lord contained that to that hotel room is a testimony to how God takes care of his people. And no one that attended that conference got Ebola. Nobody. Women came from the north of Africa, from Sierra Leone. There are some women, you know, who didn't come because of it, but there's some women who said, regardless, I am going, and they attended the conference. So it shows you that when we go before the Lord, when we, you know, just decide that we are going to carry out his business, that he takes care of us. And I traveled from Barbados all the way to Nigeria with Ebola, and nothing happened. The Lord protected all of us. He took us there, and he brought us back safely. And that is just to show you that, you know, there's nothing hidden from the Lord, you know. And even for us, it charges us that as we carry out the work of wailing women, as we do what the Lord requires us to do, you know, we are giving an account. We are saying, Lord, you have given this work into my hands, and it will take care of it. I would, you know, I'm going to steward it. I'm going to be that servant leader that you require. I will see it as my responsibility. Amen. All right, so moving on. Okay, guys, put the load down. All right, so the next, my screen is moving a little too fast. All right. Right, so the next part is the structure and pattern for the work. And this is talking about the organizational structure of Wailing Women. So we see we have 12 international coordinators. This is the hierarchy. Wailing Women is likened to like an organization, because we have the mothers, who are the 12 international coordinators. We have the continental leaders. Okay, give me 1 minute, guys. I'm just having some background noise that I have to deal with. So just give me 1 minute here. Thank you so much for waiting, guys. You know, technology and not being in, you know, being home and already outside noises. So thank you so much for your patience. Right. So as I was saying, we have the 12 international coordinators. who are the mothers. Then we have the continental leaders. We have sub-regional leaders, then national leaders, state leaders, city leaders, local government level. And this structure is mostly based off of the, off of the structure in Nigeria, because we know the Caribbean, we don't have states and we don't really have local government level, because Nigeria is a very, is a continent, you know, it's very big. So the way how they break up the nation or the continent, it will be different to how we break up the Caribbean. But this, I'm going to show you now the structure for the Caribbean as well. And this structure is, you know, and it works in unity. As I said, it's like a hierarchy, it's like the organization, because further on in the presentation, we're going to see that how God likens the work of women, women to an army. So it says, you know, that the Lord has called women all over the world to work in compact and united teams. At the head of the organization, I said before, we have the 12 international coordinators. So we see how the structure goes down. And this is the structure for the Caribbean. We have the 12 international coordinators, again, which are the mothers. Everybody reports to them. So we have, coming under the international coordinators, we have the continental leaders. And each continent has a different leader or different, as we call them, mothers over the various territories. So for the continental, for Barbados, our continental leader is Mama Ebele Okafor, and she is situated in the USA. So she's also the head over the USA, as well as she provides leadership as well to the Caribbean. And we also have Sister Uche, and she is in Canada. She's also over the Caribbean. Then we have our regional leader, as we all know, our dear Reverend Ruth. She is over the region, and she reports to the continental leaders, who then reports to the 12 international coordinators. Then we have the sub-regional leaders, which was just instituted. We have Judy St. Louis, and we have Reverend Ruth, and then we have Jackie Shafir from Trinidad. They're, the Caribbean then was broken up into different sub-regions. So this is the structure. And then we all have our national coordinators, and then we have our chapter coordinators, or our local, you know, different chapters will have different leaders over the different chapters in the country. So, you know, the Caribbean, we might be broken up into parishes, as we call them, or continent, or not continents, or counties. However, your nation or your territory is broken up. The USA, they will have states, because, you know, you have the 50 states of America, and they would divide up the USA to how they see fit based on their geographic location as well. So this is the structure for the Caribbean. So that's why we call it the structure and pattern for the work of the Caribbean. So as you see, God is a very, he's organized. He likes things, you know, a set way. That's why when he was building the temple, he provided the instructions for the Ark of the Covenant, how it was supposed to be built. That's why he told Noah how to build the Ark. God likes structure. He likes things, you know, in order. You know, he's not a God of confusion. He likes things in order. So that's why he gives the art, the length, the breadth, the width, the height, every specification down to the last minute detail. We see that God is interested in, and that's why he desires excellence in everything that we do. So that's why there's a structure in place as well for Wailing Women, because God desires excellence. Where everybody, there's a structure and everybody reports to somebody else, and there's also accountability as well. Right. So this slide is entitled that Wailing Women is not a social club. And the reason why we are looking at it from this point of view is that it's not a social club in the aspect of the traditional social clubs we have, you know, in our different nations. You might be a part of a dance group or a voice, you know, like a vocal group or sporting group, you know, a sports club, or, you know, a volunteer club, you know, different charities we might be involved in. But, you know, but for those type of clubs or those type of organizations, it's more a place where people, you know, come to fit in and, you know, belong, have a sense of belonging and identity, etc. But Willy Women is different to that. It is actually an army. Yes, there's camaraderie within Willy Women. You know, we have social events. You know, we're not discounting that. But the main focus of the move is not to be a social club. You know, it's not a women's forum. You know, it's not a women's meeting. You know, in terms of a classic example would be, you know, we may have a women's meeting or, excuse me, a social club where you might have a discord, you know, or, you know, a little argument with another member. In a social club, you can go to that meeting, sit down, do what you have to do, socialize with everybody else, and do not speak to that person and just go home and everything is fine. In Willy Women, it is not the same. As we said before, God desires purity of heart, and he desires that we, you know, live righteous before him. So for Willy Women, when there's any issues amongst us, we deal with them immediately, because we do not want the enemy to have anything to hold against us to say, well, you know, well, I thought when it's supposed to be unified. And that is one thing that we're going to look at, because for Willy Women, unity is our strength. So we cannot go up and fight the enemy if there's any break in our armor, if there's any breakdown in you know, in terms of our group, anything that threatens the unity of Willy Women, we deal with immediately, because we are interceding on behalf of the church and the nation. And when we intercede, it is a battle. Some of you would know that, you know, sometimes when you are praying and you are interceding on behalf of a thing, you know, you engage your whole body. There are tears running down your face. You know, you are poor. No, you are all before the Lord. You know, and it leaves you emotionally drained sometimes. You lay yourself bare. You're totally bare before the Lord. And if there's any discord, how can we be bare before the Lord? How can we really travail? You know, really, you know, the Lord calls us, you know, the women of tears to travail. You know, so that's why that's why our scripture says to send for the wailing women. This is for those who will mourn and take up a wailing. So for us, for our unity, we go up as one before the Lord. We go up as one. We go up as a united army before the Lord to intercede on behalf of the church and the nations. So whereas there are many things that you can, for lack of a better word, get away with in a social club, those things are not accepted, you know, in terms of us being as one, in terms of, you know, how the army moves. And later on, I will explain more in terms of what it means to be a part of Willy Women, or seeing Willy Women as an army. So that's why I said, some things we would get away with in a social club, and, you know, an ordinary women's forum, even the way how the structure is, the structure of your church women's meeting is completely different, as we can see, from how Willy Women is done. You know, our focus is to pray, to intercede. Then after the meeting, then there will be time for, you know, socializing, etc. But our main focus is always the mission at hand. You know, yes, there are friendships that are formed. Yes, we lift up, we carry each other's burdens. But in social clubs don't carry each other's burdens the way how we live. I mean, you know, we pray women through. You know, you are your sister's keeper. We pray our sisters through the situations that they're going through. We are right there alongside, you know, if somebody loses their husband or, you know, or their children, we are right there alongside, you know, the family, supporting the family, etc. So, you know, going further on, it says that no one who has been enlisted to be a soldier entangles himself with civilian affairs and attitudes. So for Willy Women, we are called to a higher standard in the way how we operate and the way how we communicate with each other and the way how we go about even our daily lives. You know, we don't entangle ourselves with civilian affairs. We don't get on any trenches with the others. You know, even for me, like, you know, the Lord called us to pray for the government. And we can see sometimes fellow Christians, instead of praying for the government or praying for your leader, they're bad mouthing them or, you know, are saying so many negative things and pulling down the leaders, when the word of God, which guides the work of Willie Women, tells us that we are to intercede, we are to pray for those in authority so that, you know, we will live at peace in the land, you know, pray for a righteous leader. So you see, the attitude of Willie Women is completely different to the attitude of those who, you know, are just in the world, not having a relationship with the Lord and just going about their business. But we are called to be different. That's why the Lord says we don't entangle ourselves with civilian affairs or attitudes. We can't take the same attitudes as other people. We can't take the same, you know, being offended easily and, you know, carrying around anger and unforgiveness. You know, those things will not carry the move of Willie Women forward. You know, and Willie Women is like a river. It's fluid. You know, it's flowing. It's flowing. It flows from the top down and it flows from the bottom going up. You know, the move of Willie Women is always flowing. So, you know, and it's a move that's not for idlers. Everybody puts their hand to the plow. Even for this fast, every nation is involved in this fast. Every nation is working together. Every nation, you know, we come together as one to ensure that the Caribbean, you know, every nation in the Caribbean has a willing women group, has a willing daughters and sons group, has husbands of law. You know, we are all working together to see the kingdom of God advance in the nations. And the next point is not a place for gossip. There's no gossip in willing women. But we see that happen in social clubs. That's why the topic is not a social club, but it's not a social club in aspect of the way others may see it. You know, it's not a place for gossip. It's not a place for, you know, getting down the trenches and having the same mindsets and same idle talk as others, you know, laughing at, you know, inappropriate jokes, etc. It's not like that. It's not the place for that. And it's not a place for lazy persons, habitation for lazy ones. There's no one that has come to Willing Women who has not put their hands in various ministries. You know, there are different ministries, and we encourage everybody to get involved. You know, find that place where the Lord is calling you to give of your resources. It could be working with the children. It could be, you know, dealing with the widows. It could be dealing with the, you know, aiding in the teaching arm of it, the evangelism arm. You know, wherever you can lend your resources and, you know, your time and energy, you know, you all are encouraged to you know, take on a role and partner and, you know, advance the kingdom of God. And that's why Willing Women is not a social club. Is that, I'm just going to pause here. Any questions, comments, or queries? And if I'm talking a little too fast, you can always let me know. I can slow down because I tend to speak rather fast sometimes. Okay. It doesn't look like anybody has any questions, so I'm just going to continue. As I said before, feel free to stop me at any time, and I can go back or I can go forward, and you guys can let me know. So the next slide is a global army. So we saw what Willing Women was not, so now we're going to look at what Willing Women truly is. Right, so I'm just going to read a little excerpt from the chapter, and it says, and this is the Lord speaking about Willing Women being an army. It says, while praying during one of our month-end retreats, this is the Holy Spirit talking to one of the international coordinators. So it says, while praying during one of our month-end retreats, so the retreat is the retreat that the international coordinators would have gone into. It said, the Spirit of the Lord said to us, I am not raising a women's forum, not a women's meeting. I am raising an army. There may be many women's groups, but I still want militia in nations. And militia is military people. You know, the stealth army. He wants militia in nations. Any that does not fit in should decamp. And decamp just means to follow or, you know, resign, take yourself out. Decamp is a military term. I say again, Willing Women is an army. It is only those who qualify to be soldiers are enlisted. Those who get crashed will be spotted out by their character and attitude towards the work. No one who has been enlisted to be a soldier entangles himself with civilian affairs and attitudes. He lives to please God that sent him. Some are playing a double game. They are here and they are there. I make it clear I am raising an army. You know, and that is God's, that's the way how he sees veiling women, you know. And they're going to look here, you know, it says only those who qualify to be soldiers are enlisted. So it's the Lord who qualifies you. It's not anything that you do. It's not based on how skillful prayer you are. It's not based on how eloquent you can speak. Those are not the qualifications that God is looking for. You know, he's the one who calls you by his spirit into this work. And, you know, for him, his army are women who live a life that please God. You know, we are trained, we are loyal, and we are committed and determined troops in a united army, disciplined and have the right mindset. So that's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants women who are obedient to his voice, women who he, you know, he can mold and shape, you know, and are pliable in his hands, women who are just totally sold out for God, who will move at his command. Because as we see in a natural army, when the commander says go, the army just goes. They don't question it. They don't say, well, commander, you sure? You know, they just go at the command of his voice. And that's why at the previous slides, I called God the commander, because he wants us to be trained, you know, trained in terms of training, which is what we guys are doing here. We are gathering training in terms of what he desires. And this is what he desires is laid out in this book, The Wailing Women Mandate. And we have the manuals. We have volume 1-4 right now. And the next book that we're going to do is the training manual, which sets out, you know, how God desires us to carry ourselves. And there are, you know, chapters in that book that, you know, that I honestly, there are a couple of chapters that I love. And one is called Manifestations of Self. You know, and it really causes you to examine yourself. Being in the move of willing women causes you to go into deep introspection and to really look at yourself, look at your heart. And you know, the Lord, in doing that, the Lord just, you know, he doesn't do it to punish you. He's not doing it to, you know, to degrade you, but it's just that he desires more from us, and for us to go to different levels. And you know, the prophetic word tells us about, you know, the Lord is requiring us to run faster, that he wants to give us more instructions. For the Lord to do all of that, we have to be in a place, or we have to, you know, be possess the quality that the Lord desires. You know, we have to, you know, look at ourselves and, you know, change the things that the Lord needs to work on. You know, allow the Lord to work on you, you know. And the next one is, let me tell you, brokenness. That's the next chapter that I like, is brokenness. And it's like when we are broken before the Lord, you know, it's like, Lord, here I am. You know, it's like your heart is just broken before the Lord, and that you would do anything, whatever the Lord requires of you to do, you would do. You know, the process might not be easy. You know, I can say for myself, the process is never easy when, you know, the Lord is molding you and shaping you and just trying to get, you know, get things, you know, to just, you know, for lack of a better word, sandpaper the rough edges from off of you. You know, it's not an easy process, but at the end of the day, it's for God's glory. It's for him to take you to the next level. It's for him to that you can carry the capacity of what he has entrusted, you know, into your hands. You know, the scripture says that, you know, that the old wineskin, you can't pour new wine into old wineskin. And willing women is a new work. We have some of us, you know, we have never been in a move like this. You know, for all of us, actually, we have never been in a move like this, you know, and it requires us to see things differently. It has caused me to pray differently, to, you know, you get so much different teachings that just causes you to really say, you know, Lord, let's work on this. Okay. And it also shifts the way you respond to situations as well. And the move of willing women is not only, you know, what the Lord is doing in your life, it's not only for willing women, it also affects other aspects of your life, your personal life, your work life. You know, it just totally, you know, refocus you, reshapes your mind, and you deal with situations differently. And that's what the Lord requires. He requires us to be loyal to him, to be loyal to him, to their work, to this work. He desires us to be committed and determined. You know, soldiers are committed and determined. No matter what, you know, they stick to what the commander says, you know. And It also calls for us to be united. And that's the key word there. As I said before, unity is our strength in willing women. You know, if we don't do things as one, it's not going to work. You know, it will not work. And, you know, the Lord will stop. I've seen the very first, I'm going to give you an example. I was new to Wailing Women, and this was back in, let's say, 2011, I think it was. And, right, 2011, I went to a conference in the USA, and that was the very first conference that I went to. And the word of the Lord came through one of the international coordinators, and the Lord called out a particular city. Can't remember which city it was. And the Lord just, he exposed everything. He said that, you know, you guys have been fighting against your leader. You are saying this, you are saying that, you're not united, you're not da da da. And the Lord said, the Lord called them, cry out before me, repent. And I was so shocked, because I was like, wow, I've never seen the Lord call out a whole city or whole state and speak to these women like that. It's like there's no place for this unity. So, but what I loved about it wasn't the Lord didn't do it to shame them. What I loved about it is that the women did not say, like, not me, I don't say anything. Everyone, even the leader herself, everyone just went before the Lord, and they just cried out before the Lord. And that is what I was so amazed that they just responded so quickly. You know, there wasn't no feeling of shame or, you know, or pride or anything, you know, within them. They just went before the Lord, just straight out, flat out on the ground, and just cried before the Lord and just wept. They asked for forgiveness. And then, you know, through that, the Lord, you know, he spoke. He said, you know, after he chastised them, he gave them words of encouragement. So it's not for us to think, but it just shows you that when there's disunity, the Lord can't move properly, you know. And after that, the conference went to another level. Honestly, the conference went to a different level. There was a lady there with her husband, and he got saved at that conference. And when the lady shared her testimony, all he could say was, well, and this was a husband was not saved. They not even let his wife to be going to Wailing Women meetings. There was so much confusion, and they had on the same suit together. And the lady said that the Lord told her to make this suit, and, you know, and she was just saying, Lord, he's not going to come, all the different things. And at the conference, he gave his life to the Lord. He was a totally different man by the end. They had a little, not really a ceremony, but it was this whole thing, you know, and the Lord just did it on the spot. So it just shows you that, you know, when we are united and when we are committed to his work, because that lady was committed to the work of the Lord took care of the issue that she was having in her life, you know. And there's so many different stories and testimonies that, you know, that you guys will hear, even as for our original conference, when we come to the point where when we have the time coming up for the regional conference, when everybody just comes together, we're able to fellowship with one another. We hear the different testimonies that what Lord is doing in each other's nation. And, you know, we can also encourage and lift up and, you know, and pray with one another. So honestly, and as well as teaching, the conference is a good place to hear teachings from the mothers. You get a different perspective on the move of Wailing Women, how it was started. And, you know, it's just a beautiful time in the presence of the Lord. So I encourage everybody, if you haven't been to the regional conference, and for some of you, you may be a newcomer, but I encourage everyone to attend the conference this year. All right. So it also says that it is for seriously minded women, because it is a serious work. Interceding is a serious job, because when we do that, we are a target for the enemy. So we have to take the word of the Lord serious, and we fight to the end. There's no shirking back. We fight to the end. We fight to the end until the word of the Lord is established. We fight to the end. So for us, it says, if you maintain your focus, the Lord is the one that goes before goes before and plans. He will orchestrate things by himself. It is not enough to say, I belong to Wayley women. Let it not become the new fashion. The Lord wants seriously minded women. So it's not to just say, oh, I'm a wailing woman, I'm a wailing woman. No, he wants us, the Lord desires to give us instructions. He wants to give us instructions to do things even in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our churches, in our business places. The Lord wants women that he can give instructions to. That's what he wants. Seriously minded women and women who will fight to the end. Right. So the next slide here speaks about, so this is just showing our highlighting what happens, you know, as we come to Wayley Women. It's a place where men are formed. And that goes back to the point that I was previously speaking about in terms of there's so much teaching and so much knowledge that I have gained since joining Wayley Women that I have not gotten at my regular church. You know, there are different things the Lord highlights. There are different things that the Lord would teach us in terms of how to pray, how to fight, you know, the different battles that we're going to come up against. So that's why I say it's a place where men are formed. You know, it teaches you how to live in unity, how to, you know, deal with unforgiveness. You know, there are so many persons in the church, you know, that carry unforgiveness in their hearts. They're offended easily. But these are issues that we can't contain in Wayley Women. So the Lord deals with them. It is a place where people recognize who they are in the Lord and utilize their potential, which is so true. You know, it's a place where we recognize who we are in the Lord. You know, in order to go up against the enemy, we need to know who we are fighting against, the characteristics of the devil, and we also need to know how to fight. We also need to know the tools that we can use. You know, we have the armor of God, we have the spear of God, the sword of God, we have, you know, and the fire of God. There's so many different weapons that God has entrusted or God has given to his daughters to use in order for us to fight. So it helps us to know who we are in the Lord and to utilize our potential. You know, the Lord says that he has given, that we are the battle axes, and with us we will tear down nations, and you know, we will break the horse and the rider. You know, there's so many words and you know, our destiny, you know, what the Lord has created us for, you know, because sometimes as Christians we can just coast by just doing church. But not in this movie. The Lord causes us to utilize our full potential. And it's a place of service where men pledge their allegiance to the Lord Most High. Doing in Wayley Women, we know that God is the commander in chief of this move. And yes, we pledge our allegiance to the Lord Most High because he is our defense. When we go to battle, the Lord goes before us. So we can't say that we are fighting a battle and we're going before God and God is not in it. You know, we see many instances in the Bible where men, Israel, went up to fight against different nations and the Lord was not with them, and what happens, you know. So and as we inquire of the Lord, as we set our allegiance to God, we see that, you know, the God goes before us, and it's a place where people recognize who they are and maximize their potential for the advancement of the kingdom of heaven. And as said one more time, is a place for serious minded believers. It's not a place for persons who can just coast by, because sometimes when we are fighting against the enemy, you know, he's going to fight back. And when we intercede, we are basically standing between the person, God, and the enemy as well, who's trying to get, you know, the nation to be a certain way. And we are in right in the thick of it. We're right in the middle, interceding to hold back and to stop and to cancel the plans of the kingdom of darkness. So for us, we have to be serious about it, you know, because we are a target for the enemy. As we decide, yes, Lord, we're going to do your work. Yes, Lord, we're going to, you know, come up and, you know, we're going to intercede on behalf of the church, family, and nation. We are standing in the gap. We are the target then, because the enemy wants to get through us to do what he wants to do. So in looking at the army, we see here, why they call this internet into alignment in the name of Jesus. So we see here, I have enlisted in an army. And as we see here, there are only two basic qualifications or requirements, prerequisites for enlisted in the army. And this army I'm speaking about here is a natural army. You know, the Navy, the military, the Air Force, there are only two requirements. And the two requirements are that you meet the basic qualifications, which may be your academics, may have to have a certain level of CSEs, you know, math, English, maybe a science. I'm not sure the exact qualification. There are various nations. And then we go into boot camp, and then you just have to pass boot camp. And we see even in a natural army, there's still a process that each soldier has to go through in order to, at the end, pass the test. And for them, they have to go through boot camp. So they have to make sure they can run at a certain level. They have to climb over obstacles. They have to do so much training that is taxing on their bodies physically and also mentally. And for us, as women and women, there's a level of boot camp that we too go through, which is, as I said before, even in the different chapters, when I spoke about brokenness, when the Lord is causing us to examine our hearts. So it's not necessarily our physical bodies that the Lord is sharpening, where there are times when he will do that, when he will speak to you about your diet. Sometimes he might say to you about if you're eating, if you're not taking care of your bodies properly, the Lord can speak to you on that as well. But, you know, he speaks to us about righteousness and about running with rules and about being disciplined, you know. And it says here, you know, the Lord calls us as willing women to be disciplined in self-control, disciplined in our use of our time. So the Lord, there's nothing, no aspect of our lives that the Lord does not touch when we enlist in the army. So there's a process that we ourselves go through as well in terms of our boot camp. But you know, the Lord requires us to come to a different level. You know, even in the manual one, it talks about running with rules, you know, and we see in the army, as I said before, you have the commander, then you have the soldier. And in terms of running with rules, you know, we follow the leader. You know, it's an army. An army is very regimented. That's what the Lord said. He's looking for militia in nations. He's looking for, you know, those who are regimented, those who would, if the Lord wakes up at 3 o'clock, those who would get up and pray and not be, oh, Lord, I'm sleepy and able. You know, women who would, you know, I mean, the Lord says to go, we go. Women, because the Lord requires, you know, so much from us, you know, and he wants women that when he says to go, we go. We don't pause, we don't hinder, we don't, you know, we don't think, well, maybe I heard and maybe I didn't hear. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting confirmation, but he desires us to go and do that which he has commanded us to do. So for enlisting in the natural army, we have the basic qualifications, then we have boot camp, where, you know, you go through the process, and then at the end of it, once you pass all of the requirements that is needed, then you are a member of the army. So we're going to look at what it means to enlist into God's army. And the first thing, salvation. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died and rose again for, you know, died for our sins and rose again, we are saved. And that is one thing that the Lord requires of us, salvation. And he requires obedience. As I said before, cannot emphasize that enough. He requires righteousness and holiness. And even in obedience, you know, there was a time, and it was actually the nation of Dominica, where the Lord gave me a dream, and it was that we needed to go to Dominica. And, you know, I was like, the dream was so real. You know, the Lord showed me the dates. It was, everything was to the letter. The dates that we were to go, who was to go, and I told my leader, and but at that time the persons who were supposed to go had just come back from Nigeria, and it's like I was listening, but Lord, in terms of Lord, where we can find the money, the resources, and you know, we prayed about it. The Lord gave confirmation. We called Pastor John and said, Lord, the Lord told us this dream. And then Pastor John said, well, this is the confirmation that I got about it. And all the Lord told me is that we need to go to Dominica, and it has something to do with the Chinese. And I was like, Chinese? Lord, what do you mean the Chinese? What the Chinese got to do with Dominica? And it was at the time when Dominica had just had a, I think it was a hurricane that had hit Dominica. And, you know, Esther called, which was our leader then. She's a continental leader now. She called somebody from the States, and the person said, I'm going to send the finances. And that is how we got on that plane. I mean, we didn't have the resources at that point in time, but somebody else facilitated the work. And we went. And when we got there, we saw what the Lord meant by the Chinese. The Chinese had built the bridges, and every bridge that the Chinese built, the Lord uprooted. Every single one. Pastor Jordan is here on this call, and she can attest to what I am saying. Every single bridge, the Lord totally uprooted. You know, that shows obedience. If we did not go, you know, we don't know what the Lord, you know, sometimes we don't know what the Lord is doing. We can only see with our natural eyes. We can only, you know, comprehend with our intellect, but the Lord's ways are higher above our ways. You know, his thoughts are higher above our thoughts, you know. So when we went, you know, and we were able to pray at the different landmarks. We were able to pray against the different idols in the nation, you know, and it was just through obedience, you know. And even at that point in time, the ones that went along that the Lord chose were persons who would have just come back from the Wailing Daughters and Sons Conference. And, you know, we were not establishing our Wailing Daughters and Sons here in Barbados. And the same time that they, because the Lord told me that they were the ones supposed to go, Pastor Joan has some children that she knew that she would have met with on that same Friday, and she even forgot to tell them that she was not having a meeting. So then the leaders who just came back from the conference were able to minister to those children, and in ministering to them, I think almost all but one gave their life to the Lord. So the Lord desired those children, and it's they're going, the resource that he had, he picked the ones who would have just gone through the training during the Wailing Daughters and Sons Conference to meet with the children in Pastor Jones area in Dominica. So it just shows you just through our obedience, if we did not go, you know, there would not have been that opportunity for those children to give their life to the Lord. I mean, yes, God creates other situations and other, you know, other avenues for things to happen, but it's because, you know, we were obedient to his voice, and we moved at the same time, and we went on the same date that the Lord instructed us to go, and that's what happened. So I was just in awe of what the Lord did. That's the truth. I was in total awe, because that was the first time the Lord had ever given me a dream that detailed. Yes, he would give me dreams, but that one was so detailed and specific on who was to go and the time and everything, that it was just awesome. So it just shows you, you know, what obedience to God means, and what obedience means when we for being a Wailing woman. And that's why I'm sharing these examples, so that when I just say obedience, I'm just talking obedience in a vacuum, that you can see an example of, you know, when we are obedient, what are the consequences, or what are the results of our obedience. And as I said before, the Lord requires righteousness and holiness. He requires purity, humility, to be people of the closet, where we go before the Lord and just, you know, hear his voice, and we just move accordingly. Women who forgive, we need to have a forgiving heart. We can't have anything within us that the enemy can accuse us of. You know, we walk in love. We bear fruit spiritually and physically. We avoid strife. We avoid pride and arrogance. There's soberness and transparent, you know, we are transparent before our sisters. We are transparent before the Lord. You know, we eschew anger. You know, we reject anger. We use our tongue wisely. The Lord told us in Barbados, you know, the prophetic word, he said, you know, watch our words, watch your words, you know, watch how you speak, watch the things that you are saying. You know, he warned us about, you know, jesting, you know, and you know, just talking it willy-nilly, basically, because our words carry life, our words carry weight. You know, we have to be very careful about the things that we say, because in the spiritual realm, our words are picked up because we are God's chosen ones, and we are to dress moderately and decently, release our temperaments, our emotions to the control of the Holy Spirit, and that is something that we as women need to for everyone, you know, in terms of our emotions can get the better of ourselves. That is the truth. You know, we are human beings, we are emotional creatures, so you know, but we have to give our emotions over to God, because our emotions can cause us to misread situations totally wrong. Our temperaments can cause us to respond to situations in a totally inaccurate way. It can cause miscommunication. It can cause so much strife and offense and all the different things. So that's why, you know, one of the requirements is that we give them over to the control of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us and how we, you know, interact with one another, how we behave. You know, Bible speaks about forgiveness, you know, and, you know, if Jesus could walk with Judas, and Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, but yet still, he walked with him daily. They ate the same foods, they communed together. You know, Judas was not given anything less than the other disciples. He was given the same things as them, related to God, to relate to Jesus on the same level. And Jesus knew that he was going to betray him. So, you know, Jesus is our prime example of how we are to live our lives and how we are to live as veiling women. Right, so we're going to look at the different arms of veiling women. And we have the veiling women, which we have the international coordinators. We are all veiling women here. We have veiling daughters and sons. We have veiling widows, we have husbands aglow, and we have the facilitators. And for those who may not be aware, the facilitators are those who facilitate the work. They may facilitate the work. It's like support. They support the work. They can support the work with money. They can support the work with linking us with different agencies that can provide, I know, a much needed resource. They, you know, sometimes for the conference, we might have a really woman who works in immigration. You know, sometimes, you know, we have to get certain visa approvals and all these different, you know, legal documents that we have to get. And there are women who may be willing women. Sometimes the facilitators are not always willing women. It could be just women who know about the move and want to support it. So resource facilitators could be those who facilitate, you know, maneuvering through the legal aspects and the immigration part of, you know, a nation that we might be going to. It could be a resource where you might be holding a conference and, you know, somebody might decide to sew in and, you know, provide the food for the conference. They might decide to give, you know, the electronic, the multimedia, you know, favor with airline tickets, any resource that is needed. You know, we are building the City of Refuge. There are many resources and facilitators that can facilitate their work as well. So those are the different arms of veiling women. And at the point in time that this book was actually written, the mandate, well, my copy, this is in 2014, Husbands Aglow was not established as yet. So that is one of the most recent ones. All right, so before I get to that last point, I just want to... Just let me go through. Okay. I'm just reviewing my notes to make sure that I have not missed out anything thus far. Right, so we are on track. Right, so the next point is, so for all these different arms of willing women to work, there's one thing I have been harping on for the majority of this discourse is unity, but we're going to go through the summary. Wait, I missed a slide. Okay, just give me 1 minute.
Ash, Nicole.
Hi.
I might have drop off because my battery is dead. It's 1%.
Oh, okay. That's fine, Pastor John.
Okay. All the best, sir.
Thank you. You're welcome. I would just, you can look out for the recording when it's disseminated. Okay, guys, I need to switch slides because I'm missing a slide. Okay, that's fine. All right, so we're just gonna go. So I'm gonna talk on unity. So we're just gonna bring up the scripture, and it is Psalms 133:1-3. Read that again. Psalms 123:1-3. So for men and women, as I was saying before, for all of the different arms to work together, we need to have unity. And I'm actually at the, this is actually the second last slide before we close. So we are on track. So it says, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It is like the fresh ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garments as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So you see, unity is our strength. It is where the Lord pours out blessing. It's where the Lord, you know, blesses the nations. It's where the Lord, you know, blesses your own life. And, you know, even in one of the prophetic words that came forward, came from the Lord, it says, speaking to the 12 international coordinators on the power of unity, the Lord said, my children, be united. It's your unity that will carry the next phase of the work I am giving to you. I say to you, bond yourself for this work. The world is waiting for you. You cannot do it in your selfishness, but by your unity. I am about to do a great work to display you. This is the hour for your manifestation. I am tearing down the strongholds of the enemy. I am bringing down the high places. I will reinforce your unity, and there will be a larger output than that which you have seen in the past. Work done will receive a due recompense. Your unity is the unity of the church. Forget about your individual differences. Forget about who you are. Focus on the purpose of my calling upon you, for I have called you as one entity, my children. Come together. And that is a prophetic word that the Lord told the international coordinators, and he was speaking to them about unity. So that's why one of the foundations of the work of willing women is unity. And I can't stress that enough. You know, even, you know, when we go to prayer, even at various chapters, we have to go up as one. You know, we can't, even if, we have issues in our own individual lives, you know, and it's always good if, you know, something is bothering you or, you know, it's being heavy, and you know, share with your group, share with your sisters so that they can help and pray you through, so that, you know, we can go together as one. And the last slide, you know, just is just a summary. It says, the Lord calls ordinary women, and this is for us as willing women. The Lord calls ordinary women for all walks of life, and turns us into agents of transformation. That's why I said before, the Lord does not require us to be more skillful intercessor. We don't have to, you know, it's not based on how well we can pray, how well we can worship, you know, if we have the best singing voice. That's the requirements the Lord is for. He's looking for obedient hearts. And we know that women that will do what he says. He says, you know, the Lord is looking for women he can train to do great exploits in the nations. Men who, you know, will be dependable, dependable, passionate, charismatic, and fruitful leaders. The Lord is looking for visionary and transformational leaders who care for the people they lead. You know, one of the chapters in the talks about the olive tree leader and the bramble bush leader and the tree leader. You know that the Lord wants us to be transformational leaders, women who will effect change in the nations, women who, you know, can see, who are visionary, who are forward thinking. That is what the Lord has given in daughters and sons, those who will carry on the work, laying, you know, When the older, you know, when the women leave, you know, those who will carry on the work from generation to generation. As we said before, the women is like a river, it's flowing. You know, as the younger ones are joining, you know, as they're raising willing daughters and sons, so that the move will never die out. So as I said, the move is like a river. And, you know, these are the qualities and, you know, what the Lord desires from us. It says God wants a large turnover in the investment that he has made in our lives. And that's what he requires, to have visionary and transformational leaders who care for the people they lead. He wants us to be passionate, dependable. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to, you know, to be that army. I mean, people don't sleep on their watch, you know. We can see even watching pictures. We see if one of the guys that is supposed to watch the gate, he's at his duty post, you know, his eyes will be burning asleep, but he's not falling asleep. He stands up on his watch, you know. He forgets about the comfort. When you're in the army, you're out in the desert, you're out in the bush. You know, it's not about your personal comfort. That's what you have to forget about self, you know, because it's not about you. This work is not, it has nothing to do with your emotions. It has nothing to do with your intellect. That's what the Lord has likened it to army, because the quality that the army possess is what the Lord requires us in women. You know, there's a thing that we have in women, when we say, you know, sometimes we sleep in 5 stars, or sometimes we sleep under the stars, which means sometimes we might sleep in a 5-star hotel, and sometimes the Lord might call us to sleep under the stars, camp style, you know. So it doesn't have anything to do with our comfort. It's all about just admitting to the will of God and just, you know, going to the ends of the earth to do exactly what he says. And that brings me to the end of my presentation. So it's time now for any questions, queries, comments. I'm just going to stop sharing my screen so that I can see if there's anything posted in the chat. Sometimes the chat features works when I'm sharing my screen. Sometimes it doesn't. So you guys can, I encourage anybody to take themselves off of mute. If you have any questions, if there's any slide that you want me to go back to, I can. We have about 9 more minutes on our training. So it's over to you guys. Any questions, queries, comments, clarification? Is there anything that I said that was not clear? Just reminding persons to just take themselves off of mute, because everyone is muted. If you have any questions, so you can just unmute and feel free to ask. So can I assume that nobody has any questions?
I wanted to find out something about the arms. You say the arms, and then you mention the men
or husbands of glow.
So they exist, but in a separate body organization. It's a different organization.
No, husbands of glow. Husbands, sorry to cross you. Husbands of glow are the husbands of willing women. The husbands of glow. I'm just going to give you a background. Husbands of glow came about because, as I said before, the Lord started the move of willing women with the international coordinators, with the mothers. But he called women together in Nigeria to pray for Nigeria at that point in time. So he started with women, you know, women who would cry before him. And that's where our foundational scripture is Jeremiah 9:17-21. And, you know, in that time, the Lord needed, you know, the Lord told Jeremiah to call for the mourning women, the skillful women that will come and take up a lamentation for us. So it's the Lord needed women at that point in time. So the Lord recognized, you know, that the husbands, they supported the wives the international coordinators wholeheartedly. They, you know, gave them, released them to go and do the ministry. And there came a point in time when the Lord told the mothers to honor their husbands. So coming out of that, you know, the Lord recognized or decided that the husbands, he would establish the husbands the glow to work alongside the wailing women. Okay. So that's how husbands the glow came about. And before they were just wailing daughters, and then, you know, the wailing sons came along. So that's why it's now called wailing daughters and sons. But originally it was just wailing daughters. So then the sons came along. So we see that the Lord just pulled in. He started with the women first, but then he pulled in everybody else. He pulled in all the different components of the family. He pulled in the sons. He pulled in the husbands. So we see that the foundation of wailing women, you know, is a family affair. Husbands are involved. Daughters are involved. Sons are involved. And, but each arm work together.
But they are taught separately. Like the wailing daughters are taught separately. Just like wailing woman, they are trained.
Yes.
You all train the wailing daughters and train the wailing widows and also
the wailing daughters are taught by wailing women.
Oh.
And yes, they are trained. They have their own manual as well. But the manual for the wailing daughters and sons actually mirrors the manual for wailing women. So the daughters and the sons are trained similar to the wailing women. You know, they're trained to pray for the church, the family, and the nations. Because they're our succession plan. So their teaching is very similar to wailing daughters and sons, and they also have their own conference as well.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And the husbands of glow, they also have a conference as well. The men come together. Even at the wailing women conferences, the husbands come and they're sitting in the same meetings as us, the same sessions. And sometimes what they do, they sometimes break out and have their like one-on-one time with the husbands. They have their own separate meeting as well, but they're also sit alongside their wives as well. But the widows don't have their own separate teaching, because the widows are wailing women who would have lost their husbands. So they're still wailing women, but they form another chapter is just to support, you know, the widows supporting one another, you know, in terms of whatever finances, you know, prayers. It's just they're a group that the Lord, you know, carved out to that we would take care of the widows.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Okay. Well, the slides that I share tonight, they would be disseminated. If you have not received the chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the mandate, please connect with your national coordinator. But please don't message me. You know, we are in a prayer of time of fasting and prayer. You can after Saturday after 6. If you have not received chapter 2 or chapter 3 for the upcoming week, just connect with your national coordinator to get the PDF files, the scanned copies of the chapters.
Now, the fast and prayer started at 3 today.
Yes.
Now, that continues until Saturday.
Yes,
at 6.
At 6.
Meaning you are fasting with water.
You actually pick your fast. Yeah, it's on an individual basis how you manage the fast. So if you want to do water from now to Saturday, then that's fine.
Nice.
Yeah, it's based on your personal preference.
Okay. If they get out sick.
Pardon?
Yes, the painted one. So the unpainted.
Oh, Teresa, you went back on mute.
I was asking you if you can do 1 meal a day.
Yes, if that's the way how you want to do your fast, yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You could do fruits alone, no? Also.
Yes.
Fruit juices.
Yes.
I know they have Daniel's fast.
If you want to do a Daniel fast, that is your choice as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the this time for this particular fast, there's no guidelines in terms of how to fast. It was left up to each individual person.
Okay.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're going to break the fast at 6 o'clock, but you break your fast, you end the fast, you know, connecting with another willing woman to just pray together and close out the fast.
Yeah, and it's mainly prayer. Meditation.
Yes. Every hour there's going to be a song that should be posted in your different chapter groups, or you know, your national coordinators group. And for 50 minutes, that's the time where you do nothing. You just sit before the Lord, meditate on the song, and you just write out, you know, what the Lord lays upon your heart. It might be a picture, it could be a vision, a prayer, you know, words, you know, however the Lord speaks to you during that time. You're just, everybody's encouraged to write them down and share them with your national coordinator. But a song will be posted every hour, and so you can listen to the song, you know, every hour if you so choose to, because you know some persons are still working, so you might not get a chance to listen every hour. But when it comes to your 50 minutes, that's when you just stand still, stop everything, and, you know, you spend that time. You know, it could be when at night when the children have gone to bed and everything is quiet, and you have that time to just sit before the Lord without any interruptions and spend your 50 minutes with God.
Yeah, because today we had the class, so meaning...
Yes.
After you finish, then we could do our 50 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you want to do it a little later, you can as well. Because
yes.
it's every hour a song will be posted.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing and helping us to understand more.
You're welcome. I just want to ask, is anybody like really new to Willing Women have joined within the past year?
I am.
Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. We have Ramona and...
I am.
Okay, who am I? Who said I am? I'm just seeing Galaxy A10. I'm not sure who I'm...
I don't know how to put on my name, so I'm not sure.
That's fine. And could you give me your name? Let me write it down.
Rhonda.
Oh, Rhonda, you're a Galaxy AI. Okay, Rhonda.
Yay. Yeah, Brandon Lee is new.
Oh, Brandon Lee, you're new as well. Well, welcome. It's very good to have all of you here. And welcome to the work of Willing Women. I hope my presentation encouraged you to continue with Willing Women and not to run the opposite direction.
No.
No, we need the knowledge. We need the understanding.
And the nothing.
Okay.
That helps.
Yes, it does. Because when you join, there's a lot of information that you have to take in, you know, but the Lord is faithful. He really does help you walk through this move. And, you know, even for us in Barbados, the Lord has been so patient and gentle with us. He has trained us, but he has also been very patient with us and, you know, really took us through. It's only when I look back at it now, I was like, Lord, we got away with some stuff sometimes, but sometimes no, we didn't. You know, but the Lord is—he's very patient, and he molded us, and you know. But I realize that, you know, might you just release and say, "Lord, have your way," and allow Him to take you through the process. It's not as hard as it is. When you struggle, that's when you make it harder.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions? Because we're gonna.
No. That's good.
Okay. All right. So once again, welcome to the Work of Winning Women. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you at the regional conference. And
when is that?
The date hasn't been finalized as yet. So once it has been, your national coordinator would disseminate the information.
Okay.
Yeah. Where is
it going to be held?
Where?
Yes, ma'am.
St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands. Yeah, so you need visas, American visas.
Okay.
Depending on the nation you're coming from. All right, so does everyone know how we end our meetings in terms of what we call dusting off? I know some persons didn't know on Tuesday, but I just want to know if anybody's not familiar with the term.
I get familiar with it now.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to close in prayer. I actually. Actually, Rhonda, could you close this out and then I will dust off?
Okay.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, tonight we want to say thank you. We thank you, O God, for our teacher tonight, O God, for our leader tonight, Lord. We thank you for the word that, O God, that which she has taught us today, that she has imparted in us, God. And we pray, God, that we will remember it, O God. And Father God, I thank you for her, to give her more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, O God. To give her retainance, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, and I thank you for each and every one of us, O God, that come together, O God, to listen, O God. And we will put it into practice, God, that we will remember it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father God, cover us your blood. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you for knowledge. We thank you for understanding, oh God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lead and direct us tonight, oh God, that minister unto our heart. Father God, cover us with your blood in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So Father, we dust ourselves off.
Amen.
From every dust and every smoke of war, we take the tail of that lash and we say to utter destruction. We remove our footprints, our voice notes, and our fingerprints from being used against us. We declare that there shall be no boomerang or backlash or reprisal from this battle. We declare that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Lord, we apply your blood to ourselves and everything that concerns us, Father. Lord, we declare that you are the strong tower with the righteous running and are saved. Father God, we just glorify your name. Father, I thank you for everyone on this call tonight. Father, that you continue to bless them, oh God, and keep them, oh God, and keep their families, oh God. Lord, we continue to declare that no plague shall come by our dwellings. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for keeping us safe, oh God, even during this pandemic, Father. Lord, we declare, oh God, that we shall, you know, come out victorious, Father, Lord, that we will be blessed, oh God. Father God, we declare multiple blessings, oh God, for everyone, oh God, for all of us, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Nicole. Good night, Nicole. Thank you.
Bye. Bless you.
Bye.
May the grace. Bless you.
Here we go. May the grace of our Lord.
Bye. Thank you, Nicole.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit
rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord
forever and ever.
Amen.
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 Amen. Bye-bye. We have any meeting Tuesday?
Yes. You want to have a meeting on Tuesday, but I unfortunately won't be your instructor on Tuesday. It's being rotated. So you will definitely see me at another session.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm Nicole.
All right. Bye.
Bye.